The Word of God is coming to us from Luke chapter 14 this morning. I'm going to read verses 12 through 24. I will be referring to some of the earlier verses also in the message, so you can know that. But I'm going to read to you at this time Luke 14, 12 through 24. That's found on page 874 in the Pew Bible. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and there is room, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we ask now that you would come and give us understanding of the word we have just heard. We want to believe what you have said and to live happily under your rule. We want to grow in faith and in holiness. So, Lord, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. And what we are not, make us. For the glory of your name. Amen. Everybody loves a feast. Delicious food, good company, interesting conversation. What's not to love about being with friends and sharing a meal? And who is surprised by the fact that the gospel is pictured in Scripture with so many food images? Isaiah 55. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food." Or these words from Jesus. This is John 6:26. "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves," referring to his feeding of the 5,000. Then verse 27, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Jesus speaks of himself in refreshing culinary terms, doesn't he? I am the bread of life. Come to me, all who thirst. Whenever we take the communion meal, we feast upon Christ by faith, don't we? That's the language we use, and we should use that language. And what did the angel tell John to write down? Revelation 19:9. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Food and occasions for eating and drinking give such amazing metaphors for all of God's kind and generous provisions in the gospel. They are rich, they are abundant, they satisfy the longings of the soul. And like a good meal, they give joy to all who come and eat and drink. Luke 14 records three food stories. One historical account of a dinner party, and two parables about dinner parties that Jesus told while he was at the party. So lessons about parties told at a party. The lessons he gave were full of reproof and were no doubt shocking to those who heard them, to the host, to one particular guest, and to all the guests who were there. So let's take a look at the scene and then give attention to the second parable. Look with me and see these three things. An awkward moment, a generous invitation, and a shocking exclusion. That will be the outline for the message. So first, an awkward moment. Jesus was eating at the home of an important man, a ruler of the Pharisees. Other guests attended, some Pharisees, some lawyers, perhaps others were there. They were there to dine, but they were also there to see Jesus. Not merely to eat with him, but to check him out. They were watching him carefully. It's there in verse 1. I think you know that when people watched Jesus carefully, they watched so that they could catch him doing something that they believed ought not to be done. It was the Sabbath, and a man was there who was afflicted with dropsy. We call that edema now. He was there. He was near Jesus. I doubt that he was an honored guest, because Jesus will later tell the ruler to invite the sick and not the wealthy friends and relatives that he had. Perhaps this needy man was there as a trap. Guests wondered while they watched, what was Jesus about to do? Would he heal this man on the Sabbath and violate the fourth commandment? But healing the sick does not violate the commandment. That's what Jesus taught, any more than rescuing a fallen son or even an ox. Jesus healed the man and he dismissed him. The host was silent. The guests were silent. They had no reply, verse 6. Then Jesus told a parable to the guests to teach them not to seek places of honor. You can see that in verses 7 through 11. He saw them choosing the best seats, and so he told them not to do it. It's better to take a low place and be invited to move up than to take an honored position and be told to move down. Jesus was not one for small talk, at least not at this dinner party. He saw things. He addressed things. People who heard him were speechless and no doubt very uncomfortable. And there's more, verse 12. He said to the man who had invited him, this was the host, the ruler of the Pharisees. Here's what he said. When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. What a gutsy thing for Jesus to say to his host. Jesus told him not to invite the very people he had invited. People who were there. People who were listening to the words of our Lord. Don't be concerned with returns in this life. Inviting people close to you or people of means will provide those returns, but you're not to seek them. Live in light of eternity. Bless the needy. Invite the despised. Be generous toward the poor with no thought of repayment. That's what Jesus was teaching. The rewards will come when the just are raised. Do what is right now and be patient as you wait for what is coming. What a shocking thing for a dinner guest to say. This is the awkward moment. Just imagine being there, hearing these insightful and penetrating words of Jesus. I wonder how long the moment was. Whatever the length, the next words spoken were those of another guest. Here are the words. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Verse 15. What? Was he even listening? Did he not get the force of what Jesus was saying? He did not. And we know he didn't because of these next words. Let's not miss them. Verse 16. But he, that is Jesus, said to him, the parable of the great banquet, as we sometimes call it, was delivered to him. It was Jesus' response to his comment. And through him, it was told to the other guests. Bread will be served in the kingdom. But there will be people who will not eat it. It will not be a blessed day for them. Now let's take up this generous invitation. And it is generous. Very generous. The host in the parable invited a lot of people to a feast and then had food prepared for those he was sure would come. When the feast was ready and everything in place, the notice went out. Now's the time. The food is ready. Come and get it. The guests wouldn't come. They gave reasons, but they weren't good ones. I bought a field and have to check it out. I bought some animals and I need to inspect them. I have a wife now. I can't make it. All fine things to do, but they were terrible reasons to miss a feast that was carefully prepared for them. Weak excuses, all of them. Offensively weak. They just didn't want to come. Surely the dinner guests who were listening to the story felt the insult as Jesus described these responses. The servant reported back and the master became angry. The people blew him off with no regard for the investment he made for their comfort. All the effort to provide generously for them, wasted. Unfortunately, I understand this, having once offended a host in a similar way. I think some of you know that I lived in a time for a time in a region of Uganda called Karamoja. It was the poorest part of a very poor country. And the Karamojong people, although they were poor, They were very hospitable, and they loved to be generous with what they had. And in particular, they loved to prepare food for guests, sometimes at considerable costs to them. Early in my time there, I stopped by a friend's hut to collect something. I told him I was coming. I did not tell him I was staying, but he assumed I would and that I'd be there for a while, and so he and his family prepared accordingly. There I was, with a couple of my children, looking at an enormous spread of amazing food prepared just for my family. I was in a hurry, and I really had to leave. A concept, by the way, unknown to the Karamojong people. No one is ever in a hurry, and no one ever feels pressure to leave from one place to go to another. I think there are some lessons worth learning there. Anyway, I thanked him, I apologized, and took off for the next thing. That was really bad form. I later learned how offensive that was, and made another apology to this family, who in time became very close and treasured friends. We enjoyed many meals together after that time, so things worked out. But this is how I learned to accept all generous invitations. In Karamoja, you don't refuse hospitality even if it's inconvenient to accept it, especially if food is being prepared just for you. I don't know what my friend did with all the food. Maybe he brought it to the poor and crippled and blind and lame and invited them to his table. I don't know. The host in the parable sent someone to do just that. Done. But there was still room. So the broadest possible invitation went out. Everyone come. Anyone come. I will be host to a lavish feast. I want a full house today. There's a tragic end line in verse 24, but before we get there, think for a moment about God's generous invitation and welcome to the world. I'm sure you know that this parable is not really about food as much as we love to eat. It is about God inviting the world into his home. The invitation is sincere and it is universal. Preparations have been made and all are now welcome to enter the fellowship of God's family through faith in Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, Acts 4:12. I hope you all agree. Do you think much about the welcome of God? You should. Do you extend that welcome to people you see? Do you love being in God's family? I hope you do. It's wonderful, isn't it, to be a child of the God of heaven. I hope you say, I love being a Christian. I am so glad that I have a Savior who loves me, gave his life for me, is present with me, makes promises to me, and helps me, provides for me, protects me, guides me, and will one day bring me to heaven, a place of never-ending joy and fellowship with Jesus and all of his people. I am so happy that I am Christ's and that Christ is mine. Do you say that? Here's another question. Dear members of Church of the Covenant, do you want others to join the family? I'll put it to you differently. Do you want God to have a bigger family? Do you want the world to enjoy the feast? And it is a feast, you know. It's a party. It's a gospel party. We're all feasting at Christ's table. We're doing it right now, actually, as we join our hearts in praise and in prayer and in attention to God's promises and his commands. It's a feast. Worship is a feast. Life with Jesus is a banquet, a party hosted by our King. Not that life is easy and comfortable. No, it's filled with trials. We all know it. We all feel it. Jesus promised that there will be trials. It's never good to pretend that all is well when sin and suffering persist. But there's no need to pretend. Life is hard. Pain is real. And some troubles never go away. And we need to learn to speak honestly about this to ourselves, to other people, to the Lord in our prayers, all the while longing for the resurrection of the just, when all things will be made right, and we will be like Jesus because we will see him, 1 John 3:2, and we will spend all eternity joyfully worshiping our Savior with the fullness of the family of God. But life in this age is hard, and that's why we need Jesus. And hallelujah, we have him. We have Jesus. He came, he died, he rose from the dead. He went up into heaven and sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And right now, Jesus is representing us at the right hand of the Almighty. He is interceding for us every day. What a glorious thought that is. He is our brother, and not ashamed to say it, Hebrews 2:11. A brother who never fails us. So brothers and sisters, Jesus is there for you. He listens to you. He never mocks you. He does not reject you. He loves your prayers. He welcomes your company. Do you believe that? You must believe it. I love how one preacher put it. Jesus is a friend who always lets you in and never lets you down. Maybe you're here and you don't have a friendship with Jesus. You've heard about him, but you do not know him. You are invited to come. Confess your sins to him. Trust that he died to pay for your sins. And enjoy the forgiveness of your sins and the new life Jesus gives to all who come. You are invited to the banquet. Welcome. Welcome to the feast. This is all really delicious food, isn't it? All the blessings that belong to us because we belong to him. We need food. Jesus gives us food. He does so generously, abundantly. Here's how J.C. Ryle put it in his comments on the parable. Maybe you know that name, J.C. Ryle. There is nothing that sin-laden hearts can wish or weary consciences require which is not spread before men in rich abundance in Christ. This is how we should understand the mission of the church, of this church, Church of the Covenant. Jesus has welcomed us into the home of his Father. We serve so that others would receive his welcome. Here's how one writer put it. The Christian mission is nothing more or less than our participation in the hospitality of God. And I think that's right. And it's why we send missionaries overseas. It's why we plant churches on our own continent. When you receive reports from missionaries and church planters and pray for them, as we prayed this morning for them, ask God to help them and those who serve with them to deliver the welcome of God to people in their places. They do participate in the hospitality of God. So do you. And so we pray for all of Christ's servants, don't we? And we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out more workers. And together, we compel the world to come to the feast. We compel them. That's how Jesus put it, verse 23. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. That's strong language, isn't it? Compel them, not force them and drag them, but urge them and persuade them and invite them and surely welcome them. The master's house must be filled with hungry souls, ready to eat and be satisfied. The food is ready. There's room at the table. Compel them to come in. The gospel invitation is broad and generous. While there is time, there is hope for the world. But there will not always be time. And while all are invited, not all will accept the invitation. So let's move to the tragic end of the text for a shocking exclusion of those who dismiss the invitation of Christ. Remember that the parable is Jesus' response to one of the guests who said this platitude, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. He said it. What a day that will be. We'll all be there. We'll eat. We'll drink. We'll all be blessed. That's what he thought. Not so fast. There will be people who imagine themselves there, but will be excluded because they rejected God's invitation. The invitation to come is generous. It is also urgent. The hospitality of God is serious stuff. There is a lot at stake. Here's the chilling concluding sentence, verse 24. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet. Jesus is warning first his own people in this parable. The Jews who are privileged in so many ways, but trusted in their privilege and not in the one whom God sent to save them. They were invited. All preparations were made. But they did not come. John 1:11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. His people did not receive him, but there is a broader view in the parable as well. We are living right now, brothers and sisters, in the age of welcome. Christ's atoning work is finished, and the invitation and welcome continues. And that welcome extends to everyone. The warning also extends to everyone. There are people in our day who think things are well when they are not. Or they think things are lousy, but have no idea how to cope with the problems of the world or the trials they face. They are feeding on ideas and patterns of conduct that seem to satisfy, but do not. They are making a wretched choice, as a hymn we know goes, and rather starve than come. They are starving while they lay aside the invitation to the feast. It is your privilege to deliver that invitation to come and to eat and to drink. Taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34:8. Listen diligently to Jesus, Isaiah 55, and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the word that has come to us today. Help us to live by it, to love your fellowship, to long for a growing harvest, and to make known the delights that come with faith in Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.